Ravers and Ricey with the baseball podcast. A very good day for it. So with all the Fighting Twinks news this week, did you see what happened up in St. Cloud yesterday? We're doing this on, today's Thursday.
Today's Thursday, Pat.
Yesterday, Wednesday, New York Mills was playing Randolph.
Okay.
In the Class A semifinals, yep. Small schools. The Randolph girls had already won the state softball title. They had a noon game in North Mankato, and they won the state softball title. Now, Randolph, you know, Dakota County, near Faribault.
Yep.
Only 500 people in that town, home of Caleb Thielbar. Now I think they're getting a lot of
surrounding support.
You know, kids that are transferring from bigger schools and going to Randolph. So anyway, they end up 1-1 after 9. Randolph and New York Mills. Randolph scores 3 in the top of the 12th. New York Mills scores 3 in the bottom of the 12th.
Come on.
They go to the 14th. Still tied 4-4. Randolph scores 4 in the top of the 14th. New York Mills scores 4 in the bottom of the 14th.
Come on.
And then New York Mills beats them in the bottom of the 15th. Now, they had a lot of pitching changes based on
too many limits.
Pitching limits. But somebody sent me this, and I haven't checked yet. I got the New York Mills coach's phone number. They 15 times were down to their last strike.
You are kidding me.
New York Mills. And they, now maybe some of those were foul balls or something, but they had 15 pitches that could have ended the game for Randolph. And they ended up winning the game. Now, they had tomorrow at Target Field, tomorrow morning at 10 in the morning, they play Hayfield, which won the state basketball tournament at that level, I believe, Class A, and they got some of the same guys, and they have had none of the marathon problems that they have. So I don't know if the day off will give New York Mills a chance to have some of their pitchers eligible to throw more innings.
Because that's based on the week.
It's
correct. Based
on the week.
Yeah.
So they could have an eighth grader named Jimmy starting the game. But I got to talk to the rival coaches on that game because it must have been a fantastic game.
You said 15 times they were down to their last strike?
15 times they were down to their last strike. Somebody told me that on Twitter because I had referred to the game and I was going to do a Randolph piece if they won both. You know, I thought that was a great story.
Sure, absolutely.
Town winning both softball and baseball. And then they were ahead 8-4, so I said, okay, they're going to win that game. I didn't even know what inning it was because looking at the scoreboard, I saw they were up 8-4. Then I saw it was 8-8. I said, what the heck?
Pat,
and then I said, this game's lasted a long time. Well, it must have been like 4 hours or something.
Or a routine
up at St. Cloud.
Yankees Red Sox
game.
Right.
Yeah, right. It was like it's a 7-inning first game of a doubleheader between the Yankees and the Red Sox, something like that. But yeah, it was epic. So I got to find more details on it. But it's nice that, the home of Janet Carvinen and the home of Caleb Thielbar went into the 15-inning.
Think of how mythic this would be in Minnesota State High School lore if that was a hockey game.
Oh, yes.
Because, you know,
right.
We always talk about, what is it, Duluth East and Edina. Who'd they play that marathon
game?
Well,
it was Apple Valley.
Apple Valley,
Six
you're
overtimes
right.
or five right. overtimes, and then they had another 3 overtime one, and they're all, yeah, I mean, when Mike Randolph quits up there under those circumstances, the coach, the second graph is always, who coached in the Apple Valley 6 overtime game or whatever it was. Yeah, it would, but I was thinking, this is the game of their lives.
They're
going to be sitting in the bar and out and beyond New York Mills out in the countryside 30 years from now. Man. Remember when Billy got that hit to keep us alive? That 3-run
kept
double.
Kept fighting off that
apparently
2-strike.
There was a 3-run double on a last pitch, either in the 12th or the 15th that won it for him. They had a base-loaded double. So anyway, congratulations to those youth.
That is fantastic.
Now they get to play at at Target Field tomorrow. Four games starting at
remind
10
me.
In the
I know
morning.
I should know where it is. Where is New York Mills? What area is that?
Oh, it's out way out west, not far from. I think it's a little south of Detroit Lakes and down in that area.
Okay.
But, you know, they were the first famous girls basketball team because of Carvinen,
okay.
Janet Carvinen, and they won, I think they won three straight titles, and then as their senior year, they lost their last game, and it was like, it was kind of like Dan Gable losing his last wrestling match in Iowa, you
sure,
know, after
sure.
never losing, and but yeah, they were, when girls basketball was just getting started, like they were the
big powerhouse right away. Yeah,
and I'll be frank here, for one of the few times in my life, we were really desperate. Both newspapers, particularly the Star and the Tribune, to try to somehow treat girls basketball, you know, the start of that fairly in comparison, even though they were drawing 2,000-3,000 people and the boys were still packing them in. So she might have gotten, it was two classes, but she might have gotten more publicity in the Twin Cities media than any girls athlete in the state.
Wow.
Before the Lynx came. She was the star of the team and she was articulate and they'd get her on the TV and, Finlander from New York Mills and, she got incredible publicity and put New York Mills on the map for all of us, really. Even though I can't exactly point to it on the map.
I know it's up there some dang place.
And I know that... I know that it's one of those little Finnish towns. I know that. And of course, those of us back in our days who covered high school sports, there's nothing we feared more than a team from a Finnish town because you don't know how many A's there's
going to be. A lot of random vowels.
You don't know how many A's there's going to be. It makes no sense. I've told you the story. My first night working a prep night at the Duluth News Tribune.
Yes.
I got a call from the Eskimos basketball, and luckily Davis Helberg, who was a Finlander, was on, he could speak Finnish, was on the desk, and I said, hey, you got to help me out here. I have no idea how any of these names, they were trying to spell, it took me 20 minutes to take a...
Not many Johnsons,
yeah,
right?
It took 20 minutes to take a short form box there. But anyway, congratulations to both those teams.
That's really cool.
Having that kind of a battle.
That's really cool.
And nobody going to second base to start the inning.
Right.
Either,
that's how baseball was meant to be played.
God
damn
intended
it.
Them to play 4 hours and run out of pitchers.
Yes.
Dang it. So anyhow... The Fighting Twinks.
Yeah.
So let's review. Here's very interesting. Manager Baldelli hooks Bailey Ober last night after four beautiful innings.
Puzzling.
Right? 62 pitches, right?
Yep.
So I'm wondering, blister, what, something, I figured.
Don't tell me the R word.
No, nothing's wrong with him. I just thought.
No, I meant rest.
No. It was interesting. Did you watch much of it?
We played last night.
Okay.
But I did catch the last few innings on my drive home from New Prague last night.
Well, he cruised through 62
yep.
and 12 up, 12 down because the one guy that got on base, they got the strike him out, throw him out.
Okay.
On a replay. So so he was perfect, 62 pitches. What I like best about the guy is he gets the ball, and 8 seconds later, he's ready to throw it. You know, he looks in. Jeffers is his guy. Whatever he wants, he throws. He uses the high fastball a lot. He's like Oda Rizzi, except he's 6'9".
Except he's a lot taller, yeah.
6'9". But he only throws 91, 92 at the backs. A little slider something, but he goes after hitters, which is really good. But so Smalley and Dick are doing the game here, and they're puzzled, right?
Sure.
I can't understand. You know, Rory said something like, I can't understand what's going on when they take him out of the game. and they bring in.
Did they question, was it injury right away, or did they say something like?
It was pretty apparent there was nothing wrong. I thought maybe he's got a little blister going or something.
Sure.
Well, all of a sudden, you hear Dick saying, now it could be that, he really hasn't pitched much since 2018. He only pitched this many innings. He didn't pitch last year because he wasn't in St. Paul. He didn't pitch last year, and he only pitched 70 innings in 2019. So, and then I hear Timmy after the game. This is before we've heard from Rocco. And Timmy was trying to, in Timmy style, I love the guy personally, but Timmy in Timmy style was trying to say what a boost it would be for the kid if he got to go back out for the fifth and won the game, got a win, you know, because they were ahead. But Rocco knows his pitchers a lot better. Knows his pitcher a lot better than me. So the message obviously has been received on the BSN telecast that Rocco's reason for doing this is because he has only pitched this many innings in the previous 2 years, and they're treating him, they're going to protect him. And Rocco admitted it after the game, that he just hooked them because he was at 62 pitches, and if they sent him back out, he didn't say this, but if they sent him back out and he gets to 80, they don't want him to throw 80 pitches because he's being nursed back from having missed 2020. Sure. But it was to those of us who realize that the poor guys at BSN are not allowed to be candid.
Right. Oh, yeah, right.
Not allowed to be candid.
Even with the name change.
No.
No,
it's still BSN.
N.
So, but when Dick all of a sudden started rattling off these stats, I'm not saying he didn't look up the stats himself, but somebody got into his ear and says, it's got to be based, the Twins say it's based on the fact that he hasn't been.
Wow. Again, and I didn't see any of the game. I know they had a healthy lead. They were up, 7-0, and then 7-1 or whatever it was.
Got two early, then they got one, then Cruz hit a three-run bomb, and then Jeffers hit one.
But I guess the thought that came to my mind after I saw them, like, why did they hook him? But I don't like the message from top down of, we've got to be careful all the time.
Yes, that is.
And it's I'm not talking about just Ober. It's Buxton. It's everybody else. It's Naprams. I don't like that mindset of a team. I hate it.
No, and even if they're buried in anything. But this guy is 6'9". He's a monster. He doesn't have a awkward delivery.
Right.
He's got a pretty, for a big guy, he's got a pretty smooth delivery. He was rolling, and there's no difference long-term between 62 pitches and 80. There's nothing. There was no hint, and so they brought in Theobar. He right away gave up a run, but then he pitched. He struck out like four guys or something. His strikeout numbers are unbelievable when he pitches. He just came back. So they're gonna. They haven't given us. Maybe they wanted Theobar to get some work because they had a bunch of lefties coming up too, but.
But with this bullpen, you could have given him work in the sixth inning or seventh inning.
Yes, and Colome came in, and first guy got a hit, and it looked like he's going to walk the next guy. I was secretly praying they urinated it away, weren't you? They had to get somebody up with a 7-1 lead for Colome.
Yep.
They brought him in. And they had to get somebody up with a 7-1 lead. Rogers got up. Then he got out of it. Then Rogers pitched the eighth. But when you're ahead, when you get 7 runs and you got a kid pitching, and he's really, I think it was a hit. He might not have given up a hit. It might have been a walk. I think it was a walk. I don't think he gave up a hit. And you have to use Taylor Rogers that game.
That's on you.
You're idiots.
That's on you.
You're idiots.
Yes,
Taylor
absolutely.
Rogers should be sitting out there, you know.
Especially, playing. Pat, your bullpen has been hemorrhaging for weeks.
Yes.
4 weeks. You're finally getting a kid that's giving you a shot to maybe.
Yeah, and then we don't want him to go.
No, don't have him throw.
But let him go one more inning and get a win, for
right.
God's sakes.
And I guess the other part to me that.
But boy, were they, you could tell that. You could tell Rocco was very defensive. We're going to protect it. You know,
sure.
The whole speech was we're going to protect. Mm-hmm. We're going to get him to the finish. I suppose one thing is they're probably only going to let him pitch 80, 90 innings this year. So they, you know, if they're going to, but you're not going to be in this situation again. Let him get a win for God. You can see yeah. he was upset about it. Too.
So, and here's the other part I find a little bit troubling. These guys took over this organization in 16, right? 2016.
Yeah,
all right. And they were brought in. The Falvey and Levine regime was brought in here from Cleveland. Levine, mm-hmm. Falvey was brought in from Cleveland to do what? To develop pitching.
Yes.
To develop pitching. That was the mindset. We're going to create our own pitching. We're going to develop our own path, our own pipeline, just like the tribe's been doing for
yes.
years. Where the hell is it?
Yeah. It's
where the hell is
it,
Pat?
Awful. Well, you look at the staff in St. Paul. The good thing two nights ago when they gave up 14. Saints gave up 15. I was doing a whole string of tweets on coming up next on Valley Sports North. Twins give up fewest runs of teams that train in Fort Myers, you know, because the Red Sox gave up 18
oh,
that
did
night.
They really?
Yeah, the Red Sox gave up 18 that night, and, you know, all this other stuff.
We gave up the fewest runs.
Twins give up fewer runs than Saints, you know, and Twins, you know, when they got, oh, God, they're terrible. They're just, and now Donaldson leaves with the, you know, I got a prediction from Judd that he won't play for months, but that's, you know, Judd mm-hmm. thought he was never going to play again after opening day, and he had played 53 out of 55 games.
Yeah, he's been up
so
to,
you can't
yeah,
rip him.
No.
And it didn't look like he snapped it. It did look like he was a little ginger running out a double or something like that, and then he scored later. And it definitely was precaution. Everybody's saying Rocco. Well, I think it's him. I think he calls his own shots. I don't think he listens to Rocco Donaldson.
Okay.
I think if Donaldson he's beyond having some overly protective manager, but I think he felt like, yeah, you know, I felt it a little bit. We don't play again until Friday, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Simmons leaves with a.
He rolled his ankle?
Rolled his ankle or something. So, yeah, it was quite a, you know, it's what happens when you get. But anybody wants to know what's wrong with this team, you lost two of your regular. You lost your left side of the infield yesterday, and you pitch good, so you won, you know.
Right.
They don't pitch good. What do they pitch? They pitch good twice a week.
If you know, Barrios
six,
gave you a hell of a start on Saturday.
Games, they play six games. They pitch well twice a week.
DK
said pitch good. They pitch good twice a week.
Yeah.
You know, so that's their whole problem here. So.
And it's the other thing, Mark. It's, you know, we talked about this so many times, but when you got a bad baseball team, that's a long summer.
Yeah. Oh, God, it is. And here's the other thing. They basically want Buxton, he said, to be. Okay, Phil Miller had a stuff this morning because he's on the scene. I think he might be the only reporter out there. That they were working him out before the game. You could see him working out on the field, Buxton. And they were having him do these sprints, I don't know how long, 30 yards maybe, and to see if he could maintain full speed the whole time. And he did four of them, and the last two you could see him slow down the last 40 feet. So he's... They're going to send him back. I bet he's not in Texas. I bet they sent him back today.
You're kidding.
Or maybe he'll stay with them in Texas and keep working out in the 120 degrees, but because it's indoors. So no. So, but they're saying he'll have to go back to St. Paul to play a few more games. But I don't get it.
Why?
Why is right?
What?
But they Rocco on he was on Sirius. I don't know if he used this phrase. To the Minnesota media, but he was on Sirius the other morning. Somebody told me he does a weekly hit, I think, on their MLB show. And excuse me. And he said he's we're going to wait till he's 100%. Well, He's 27. This is his 10th pro season. He's had many, multiple injuries. He's never going to be 100%.
No.
There is no
100%. This is what he is.
There is no 100%. There is, for a veteran player, and I mean, and he's a veteran player because he's been at it for 10 years, even though he doesn't have the games played to show it, there's only, I'm good enough to play.
Yes.
That's all. That's all there is.
Especially as you're creeping into July.
Yes, I'm good enough to play. That's all there is.
Yeah.
If you're going to wait to say, I'm perfectly fine, healthy, nothing aches, he's never going to play again.
No.
But I wrote a column last Tuesday, a week ago Tuesday, ran out that triple. And he was going to play there again Thursday. And then starting Friday against Houston, there are 100 games remaining. And I wrote, this is the most important 100 games of his life because he's got to prove so they can pay him. Well, he's already proved he can't. So it's already been proved. He's got to go. You cannot count on having Byron Buxton in your lineup when you get us. Now, they might come out and tell us, there's a fracture in that hip that they haven't found, you know, something. There's got to be something. You know what? They're going to have to come up with some diagnosis here.
Bilateral leg weakness.
This was residual soreness.
Oh, we residual use that soreness.
Okay. Good old RS.
Yes.
But I said RS is now trumped bilateral leg weakness. But there's got to be something in there. In that hip, it just can't be a strained hip.
And as you said, regardless of what it is, you can't either invest $150 million a guy that you can't count on.
No, and you're going to probably have to do with him what the Houston's doing with Korea, is just let him play and walk because he's, you know, I don't know. If you trade him, you're getting 40% of value. Right.
Right. No, you can't. I don't think you trade him. You just ride the string out with him.
Yeah. Yeah. But you don't pay him.
Because when he is in the lineup, he makes your team better. Yeah, we've talked about that a million times.
And I don't think it's like, you know, somebody else will give you a damaged merchandise or something. But and if he would come back next season and play like he did in April and maintain and end up playing 130 games. There's no chance you sign him as a free agent. I mean, it's going to be $150 million then. So I think it's a lost cause. Somebody said on Twitter, the combo of Sano and Buxton, they called the biggest hoax ever perpetrated on fans. But is it the greatest twin flop in Minnesota sports In your lifetime? Is it the greatest twin flop? It's not the Twins. I mean, two guys.
The two guys that were going to turn around the franchise.
I saw some stuff written. Sue Ann was writing something in 2015, I think, in Fort Myers. The two best prospects in baseball.
Yep.
Were right here in our own camp. We're doing this together that day, and something like that, and. Last night, by the way, you had a lefty named Sheffield, who has been mediocre for Seattle. And last night, he was terrible. And Cruz hit one 430 feet off him for a 3-run homer. Ryan Jeffers came up and hit one off him. Sano managed to leak a single through, but he's hitting like 130 against left-handed pitching.
Yep.
How is this possible?
I don't know.
How is this possible? They throw him these little, you know, these little sinkers in the middle of the plate, and he's yanking and trying to pull. I mean, anybody who tries to defend him, and there still are, he's hit more home runs the last 3 weeks
than anybody
in the majors. He's batting 179. He's striking out 440. You know,
You know what it isn't? Sustainable.
No, it's not sustainable. It is not sustainable. It's it's incredible. Well,
and I think what they'll end up doing, because this was a hot topic in the Faribault Laker dugout last night, because we were monitoring the Twins score while we were losing to the New Prague Orioles.
No, the Orioles, who you embarrassed 2 weeks
10,
ago.
10 to nothing. What
we has
beat
happened
them at all
to you guys? Injuries?
We're a little banged up.
So you're fact, like Doc Rock? You won't let these guys play, or they can't play?
Well, part of it is availability.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've got, this is the time of the year where you got a lot of weddings and you got a lot of other stuff. And I think
you might
be looking at the starting left fielder tomorrow night down in Milroy, by the way.
You're going to Milroy? Yeah. Who are you playing, the Yankees or the Irish?
We're playing the Irish.
Oh, that's tomorrow night. That's Bob's ballpark.
I can't wait to see that park.
Yeah.
Great.
He's a different kind of cat, but it's a great ballpark.
I can't wait. It's going to be fun.
It is a great ballpark.
But what we were talking
Are you playing somebody else down there?
No, we're playing the Irish. But we just wanted to schedule a game that wasn't a DRS game.
Back.
Yeah, okay. Yep. And the fellas, we might be spending the night at an.
You ain't staying at the Milroy Inn.
No,
I want to tell you.
I think we're staying in Marshall.
Close,
staying in Marshall. But in any event,
sorry, fellas, the co-eds are off campus for the most part. So
don't tell them that yet. No. That's the only reason we're getting them to come.
Getting the players.
But I think what they're going to end up doing, the Twins now, they're just going to chalk this up to it just didn't work, and they're going to try it again next year with all of these guys that still have an. I don't think they're going to trade Barrios, and I don't think they're going to trade Buxton or Don or whoever.
Yeah, you might be right about that, but anybody else, I think they're going. I think there's going to be a big garage sale next month.
You do,
really do, yeah.
But who?
Trouble is, here's the trouble: they can't get anything for Sano. So
no,
you know. So what do you?
Because he still has 1 year left, right?
Yeah, he's got another year left, but nobody who wants him. It's you might as well trade for. You might as well pick up Chris Davis, CHRIS, or Chris Davis, CHRIS, on waivers. You might as well pick those guys up on waivers.
Instead of giving something up.
He's the same guy.
Right.
Except he's only 28. Those guys are, you know, Chris Davis is 32, 33.
Yeah.
But it's horrible. Mm-hmm. I don't care what his defenders tell me, it's horrible.
And I know we always talk about your line of there were fourth in the American League in MLB.
He the last several games has been hitting behind Ryan Jeffers.
Who's been good lately.
Yes, but cannot that not embarrass this
you would
28-year-old veteran who was supposed to be the phenom of phenoms that a kid who's just learning his trade is hitting
in front of him
two spots last night. I think Sano was hitting seventh, or Jeffers was hitting fifth. This is embarrassing.
He was supposed to be Killebrew.
Yes, yes. And somebody says he's got the second highest slugging percentage in Twins history. He's also got the highest strikeout percentage in baseball history. For this point of his career, he has more strikeouts than anybody who ever breathed.
Oh.
He's hitting 40 points less than Rob Deere's career average. And when we were much younger and he was with the Brewers, we laughed about him having Rob Deere in the lineup of how often he struck out.
Remember the Rob Deere shift they used to put on for him at the Metrodome? That was the first time the second baseman, because he was stone feet, he could not run, and they would put Lombardozzi or whoever at second base, basically.
You know, this is really interesting. Mike Marshall died, right?
Yep.
And the wonder, we talked about him last week, wacky. But I wrote a column on him when he was pitching for the East Side Merchants. And he was moving in this. He was moving his defense for each hitter. He was moving his fielders.
From the mound.
And had done that and used to argue with Mock all the time because he knew what pitch he wanted to pitch and they would then hit it. So he was shifting off the mound. The doctor of kinesiology was shifting his infielders in early 1970s, you know, he was doing the same. So he was, you know, this is, you know, where a guy's going to hit the ball is not new, you know, and especially with him.
Yeah.
But he was doing it for the East Side Merchants. And when I talked to him after the game, he gave up a couple of runs. And he said, well, if they
should have been over here.
If they would have told him where, if they would have gone and played where I told him to play. And then, I mean, he never gave up a hit in his life that was.
No, it wasn't my fault.
Not because the hitter was too stupid, usually. But to how could he possibly be expecting that pitch? You know, but then Mudcat Grant, the great guy who died. And Mudcat Grant's 1960, I did a really good piece on him when he was here in 2005. I remember I told you, I think I was out of that Northland Center. He was making some appearance out there, and I sat down with him for like an hour and a half. But where did 65 come from is basically was the angle for him. I mean, all of a sudden he was the best pitcher in the American League, best starter. Johnny Sain was the pitching coach, and when he got here, Johnny Sain was hired in 64. And Johnny Sain had some little ball on a rope, a baseball on a rope, and he would have the pitchers take this home with you in the off season and spin it and just, you know, do like this, you know, basically spin it.
Okay.
Do all summer. Do all off season instead of going out and throwing BP or not throwing
regularly people, off the mound. Yeah,
just spin this thing, spin this, and then you know spin it the other way, right? And Mudcat says one day he's throwing BP. I think it was in spring training in 65. He's throwing BP and he throws his sinker to a right-hander. He wants it to go the other way, you know, the sinker, and it goes, and he, you know, takes this big, much more movement on it than he ever had. And then he throws one to go in and the right-hander, and then another one go away, and it goes that way, and he says, Sain, come over here. You got to see this move. You got to see this bull move, you know, and Sain slaps him on the back and says, you found it. You know.
Oh, that's great.
It's something. But this is not like, you know, computer
no.
driven spin rate, blah, no. blah, blah.
But this was get the ball to do that.
Yeah. Spinning the ball and moving the defense is just has been around. It's just, it's now the entire world for those people. But,
sure.
It was very instructive because I can't remember what I wrote about these guys, you know.
You're reminding me. The other thing I wanted to bring up with you, do you believe Tyler Glasnow? His excuse.
I kind of do. I talked to Perky, and Perky thinks the injury part of it is BS. He doesn't think that's it. But it is idiotic. Here's the problem. The umpires aren't chemists, but they should be letting them. Perky says bullfrog, they call it. That's the sunscreen. Mm-hmm. They all use bullfrog. And rosin, he says, and when it's a hot summer day, you need it. He said, to get a grip on these balls that they have now with no seams on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the hitters want us to have it. They don't want you just throwing it
100 miles an hour and getting smoked.
Having it run off and hit them in the face, you know, because you can't grip the ball. But I thought Glasnow was pretty instructive. Choking, he has to. He's basically, you know, because he's right. The only time you choke the baseball is when you wanted to throw a palm ball or mm-hmm. something, a changeup, right? Mm-hmm. A changeup. But everybody's always been taught to throw it off their fingers,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't throw it off your finger, if you can't hold the ball, you got to push it back in. And who knows if it might have put a forearm strain on him. I don't know. You know, because what did he say after the first time he pitched? He felt it in his forearm.
Because I was talking to a couple of pitchers about that last night, mm-hmm. and they all believe him. They said, you're throwing it differently.
Yes.
You know, and it's one thing for us.
Yeah, and plus he throws it from 97 to 101.
Right, and it's one thing when you're throwing it 78 miles an hour.
Oh, sure.
As opposed to 100 miles an hour, you know.
Well, yeah, Now, before this came in, I watched him about 3 weeks ago, and he had a little bad spell. You know, he was like, wasn't blowing people away like he did. And I watched him, and I was watching a Tampa telecast, and they were saying, this is Tyler's third straight mediocre, for him, like 5 1/3 and, you know, 4 hits and 4 walks and
okay.
stuff like that. So I don't know. It could be. I'm not going to call him a liar because he's a very articulate guy, and I think he's trying to tell baseball that you bleeped up again. How can you do this in the middle?
In the middle
of the season
is the problem.
That's
yes.
the whole thing.
If you let him start then you have to finish it and then make the adjustment.
And he's absolutely right. If you're going to do this, you have to get a baseball that has some tackiness to it. You can't have him throwing pool balls.
No, because people are going to get hurt.
You got it. Yes.
The best tweet was,
we already have more guys getting hit than I've ever gotten.
The best tweet in response to that was Andrew McCutchen. Did you see his tweet?
No.
He basically said, "All right, let's go," and it was a quick video of a kid wrapping himself up in bubble wrap with a baseball bat in his hand, like, okay, now I got to get ready to get drilled because these guys can't feel the ball.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And this is a hitter, an MVP hitter that said this.
They always dive into stuff. I wrote about this today. They always dive into this crap. And then they, remember when you couldn't collide at home plate because of
Buster Posey.
A couple years after Buster Posey. And I remember once they called a guy out like he was 20 feet from home plate.
It was Robin Ventura. Yeah. Do you remember that? And he lost his mind.
Because the catcher was loitering. He was waiting for the guy to get there, and he had his left foot in the side of the plate.
Oh, he's safe.
They called him. Well, I think the umpires, they're belligerent SOBs, and they want to make you look idiot. They want management to look like morons, Joe Torre and those guys. By saying, okay, this is what you told us. That's right, okay. Same thing with second base after Utley. They were calling runners out left and right. The guy could slide in, not slide high, not slide late, not slide directly at the bag, and if they hit the guy, they were still calling him out. Now, of course, that second base is such a less of an issue because the traditional double play doesn't get made anymore.
Yep.
But my friend, if the double play, I had this in a comment, take it out today. But Bobby Randall, played here. He succeeded Carew as a second baseman and played here and was great turning the double play. If turning the double play was important now as it was then. By the second baseman, Rodney would have never left second base. He would have played it his whole career.
Really?
Yeah, because he could catch the ball and throw it to first.
Sure. But he
could go out there and play 25, 30 feet out in the grass and throw a guy out.
Yeah.
He was not. Back then it was, the first thing they said about the second baseman was, can he turn the double play? And Rodney had lost his ability to do that, and that's why they put Randall in there.
And had to move
first.
You
could hit him with a semi-truck, and he'd still turn it. So, anyway.
Anyway,
our Fighting Twinks, we're making no Buxton, no Donaldson, no Simmons, and no give-a-damn about whether a guy gets a win or not.
Right.
It's
a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It's really exciting. 67 games. 60 games last year, fourth in pitching in the entire major leagues. 67 games this year. They were 28th before last night. They might have moved up to 27th. Yesterday it was 505.
Ooh.
Last year it was 354.
Wowzers.
Unbelievable. All righty. We're good. Go Lakers! Give those Irish a beating down there.
We'll do our best.
Hey, Bob Dolan, he'll be ready for you guys because he wants to show you City. They figure Faribault's close enough to the Twin Cities to be a city.
Oh,
team,
absolutely. Yes.
You could get a whopping. Tell your fellas to show up. Come on, we don't want them to be like a bunch of twins.